Oh, well, time.
Yeah.
That must be Dan. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to January 15th Metro Parks meeting. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Could we call the meeting in order and have the roll call?
Sure. Yvette Edu.
Here.
Dan here. Moore.
Here.
Bruce Rinker.
Here. And for the record, Yvette Edu is attending the meeting virtually today, pursuant to our virtual public meeting policy and Ohio law.
She's in Florida. She says it was a mistake, and I don't believe
it. Three members are present, which constitutes a quorum.
My apologies, everyone, but could we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah, it's heartfelt.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I believe, Dan, you're handling the presentation of the judgment entry.
What was that?
You got to stand up.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Going to make you official. This time we will swear in Dan Moore as commissioner.
Yeah.
He's got his mic.
I think you already have a mic, so we should be good to go. Yeah. So raise your right hand. I, state
Dan,
your name.
I, Dan Moore.
Do hereby swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
And the Constitution of the State of Ohio.
And the Constitution of the State of Ohio.
And that I will faithfully, honestly, and impartially discharge the duties.
And I will faithfully, honestly, and impartially discharge the duties.
As a member of the Board of Park Commissioners.
As a member of the Board of Park Commissioners.
Of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
Of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
This I promise to do as I shall answer under God.
This I promise to do as I shall answer under God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Better than Timex.
Congratulations, Dan. And then Kyle, I believe you're also going to walk us through the organization of the board.
Yes, the next recommended action is that Bruce Rinker be nominated as president of the board for 2026 and further to nominate Dan Moore and Yvette Edu as presidents or as vice presidents of the board for 2026 and further to appoint Brian M. Zimmerman as chief executive officer, secretary, and to serve as his official capacity of the boards of Destination Cleveland, Flats Forward, Northeast Ohio Sustainability Community Consortium, Achievement Centers for Children, American Red Cross, Northeast Ohio Chapter Board of Directors, and Cleveland Zoological Society, and further to continue the appointment of Wade Steen as Chief Financial Officer Treasurer. Is there a motion for that recommended action?
So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Oh, sorry. Bruce Rinker.
Aye.
Yvette Edu.
Aye.
Dan Moore.
Aye.
All right. Our next item of business is appointment of legal counsel.
Yes, commissioners, this is the last year of our RFP. So we went out in October of 2021. So that started in 2022. And we've had 1 year renewals each year. So we actually have some rates from around 2021, 2022, which is beneficial to us. And we will be going out this fall for another RFP for legal services. So we'd ask that you approve the recommended action.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Roll call.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Yvette Edu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Next, the minutes from December 18th need a motion to approve them subject to any amendment.
So moved.
Second.
All
Bruce
in favor?
Rinker?
Roll call. Yes.
Yvette Edu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, now the financial report. Wade, Happy New Year.
Thank you, President. I'll wait till David gets our PowerPoint out. Thank you, David. Commissioners, we're going to be reviewing December as well as the year 2025 briefly. A couple items I did want to point out to you, and this is at a consolidated level. We've talked often about property tax running a little bit behind, but I thought it was important to look back at 23. We tend to compare the current fiscal year, which is 25 to 24. And sometimes if the previous year, in this case, 24, is an exceptional year, which it was, it makes the current year look a little bit more challenging. I would like to point out that the property tax revenue in 2023 was $97.51 million, almost exactly what it was this year. So you can see that 24 was just a very strong year. We're hopeful that 26 turns a bit and we see some increase. You also notice that in local government, we had a positive year by $15 million, over $15 million, almost $16 million, $15.7. The big driver were local government revenues, grants, and gifts. They were $36 million compared to $20 million. You say, well, I wonder what that was. In 2023, that was $26.4 million. So it's $26 million, then $20, now $36. A lot of that just depends on the timing of grants, but we had a very good year in terms of those revenues. In terms of charges for services, our other major revenue line in 2023, that was $39 million. So it was $39 million, 39.4. Last year was 44 point, almost eight. Now it's 43.3. So it's down 1.4 million. Again, 2024 was an exceptional year. When you think about 2024, we're able to get golfers out and activities going early in the year. 2025, we've been battling weather and being behind a little bit since the beginning of the year, but we've had a very good year. $193 million, almost $194 million in revenue, $137 million at a consolidated level in expenses, for a surplus of $56 million, of which $75 million was put back into the Park District in terms of different capital expenditures. When that says $18 million, that means $18 million out of our current available reserves. So this ended up about where we thought it would be after we got the year going. We saw we were going to be a little bit behind just because of weather and other things. Then we had a windstorm in the middle of the year. Weather was just not our friend in 25. We hope 26 is different.
Just a question. This is a triennium year, isn't it, for tax valuation?
They went up last year, so they can appeal them now. Yeah.
Got it.
The triennial update was last time. Now we'll look at a few of the individuals. I did want to point out... As it relates to the zoo, again, we've talked about this at every meeting. With the closing of the rainforest, it's dramatically impacted the zoo. Revenues were down about 11% over the prior year, over the 16.8. But when you look back at 2023, revenues were 15.7. So went from 15.7 to 16.8. Now we're down to 14.9. We hope to see that trend come back with good weather. We've talked about this at each meeting. Compliments to Chris Kuhar and his staff. They've held expenses in line. Expenses only went up 4.6% for the year. And so all in all, the subsidy, while it was a little bit greater this year than it was last year, they were still able to manage that. And we're hoping with the opening of the rainforest in June, one of the keys for us in our budget for 2026 for the zoo is getting the rainforest open, driving more attendance, which is going to drive everything over there. We go to golf. One of the ironic things with golf is greens fees. Revenue went up. It went up 3.4%, but rounds played went down 2%. And the change there is that the pricing structure was modified a little bit. So even though rounds played went down, revenues went up. But that explains why equipment rentals are down a little bit. We played a little bit less rounds, and that's driven by rounds played, not by revenue. But all in all, golf revenues for the year compared to 24 are up 2.7%. Frame of reference in 2023, their total gross revenues were 12.4 million. And before you get too excited, 12.4 million to 14.7. In 2023, we didn't have Ironwood. And so Ironwood obviously distorts that when you look back at 23. In this case, it's not listed there. I'm pointing there because it's in my notes. But all in all, golf did very well given the weather challenges that they had, with net revenues coming out at about 3.4 million compared to 3.7 the year prior. And in 2023, the net revenues were just over 3 million. So golf over the last 3 years has had a surplus from operations prior to capital of over $3 million. Compliments to Joe, the Donner, and the golf staff. They've done an exceptional job. These are some of the individual golf courses. I did want to point out a couple that had really strong years. We've talked about them often. Mastic Woods, net operating revenue of $165,000 compared to $73,000. And when you look at Sleepy Hollow over here, I wanted to point this out, that they dropped to the bottom line $344,000 on net operating revenue of $790, even after substantial capital investments, still had $344,000 surplus at the end. And then when you look down here at Shawnee Hills, we had substantial capital investment last year, which led to a subsidy, but operating profits at $566,000. This year it was $711,000, continued to the capital investment, and still had almost a $500,000 surplus at the end. So those three courses did extremely well. You can see that we did have some substantial capital investment at Seneca, which we've talked about. And Ironwood, you'll notice that $217,000 for equipment are the new golf carts, which will become revenue generating in 2026. So it looks like an expense, doesn't make 25 look as good as maybe you would think. But next year, the revenues are going to be substantially higher because now they're going to have new golf carts, which would increase rental revenues for Ironwood. On the enterprise side, it's really hard to do some comparatives because East 55th has been closed all year. And we've talked about that often. But revenues are down just 1.8%. Expenses, they've held steady. So they've done extremely well. When you look at the net revenue here, it was 356 last year, 228 this year. When you go back to 2023, that number would have been 430,000. So we hope when we get East 55th open back up, it will get to be this number, if not higher, because as we've talked about, the revenues from East 55th are almost $600,000 on the top line. And there you can see the difference right there. That's just a big hole for them to make up. Merwin's outperformed last year. And as I looked across at all of our different enterprise operations, I was pleased with where all of them were. They were a little bit behind where they were last year, but again, we were fighting an uphill battle in 2025, and most of the enterprise operations held their own. And I've mentioned this a couple of times, but for the record, again, I wanted to point out the Chalet had an exceptional year. They introduced a few new events. The Oktoberfest was one of those. And Ledge Lake, even though the numbers are smaller, again, complements the season passes, swimming lessons, just did a really good job of managing that operation and more than doubling their net operating revenues. Lastly, with the nature shops, we continue to monitor those. Sales continue to increase every month with online sales and other things. Marketing is doing a good job of trying to figure out how to continue to drive revenue. You can see that the surplus this month was $41,000 compared to $58,000 last year. And that is because it's just the timing of some of the purchases that happened in this year would have been a little bit closer to 50. But we continue to keep an eye on that and manage that operation. But all in all, it was about the year I would have expected as I looked at 2025 in total, given the circumstances we're up against. And now we're into 2026. I mean, half of a month in. Obviously, the weather coming in today, if this is indicative of what we're going to face for the next month or month and a half, that's not helpful. But we hope that we get good weather earlier this year so that in March we can have people golfing and people using other facilities around the park district.
Great. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, Brian.
I love it when our CFO is talking about the weather and revenue. This makes me happy. Our first general action item of the new year is the swearing in of Police Officer Ronald Milligan. Chief.
Morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
Good morning.
Members of our department, thank you very much for braving the elements and getting down here. It was quite an interesting drive for sure. We're bringing on board today Ron Milligan. We had his interview back in July, and I remember when Ron was interviewing, he has spent 26 years and just recently retired from the Parma Police Department. And I asked him, well, how much, you know, more gas in the tank do you have? And he says, Chief, I'll go as long as you want. I'll give you 10 or 15 years. So we're going to hold you to that, Ron. So like I said, Ron came from the Parma Police Department. He got his education for Bachelor of Science in Pre-Med Biology and minor in Chemistry from Walsh University. He started his career with the Parma Police Department in August of 99, and then retiring after 26 years in April of 25. He was a firearms instructor, range officer, field training officer, special weapons and tactics on SWAT. He was a sniper for 14 years, was a member of their police mountain bike unit, and was a certified drone operator. So he brings a lot to the table for our department, and we are so excited to bring you on board. This is a fantastic family run, and I mean that wholeheartedly. This is the best place I've ever had to work, and with an amazing crew, and we are truly a family. So come on up and get sworn in.
Raise your right hand, state your name.
I,
Ron Milligan,
do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear
that I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States of America.
That I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States of America.
The Constitution and laws of the state of Ohio.
The Constitution and laws of the state of Ohio.
To the rules and regulations of Cleveland Metro Parks.
And the rules and regulations of Cleveland Metro Parks.
I will discharge the duties to the best of my ability.
And I will discharge the duties to the best of my ability.
Of the office of police officer.
Of the office of police officer.
To which I've been appointed.
To which I've been appointed.
And I will faithfully carry out and implement.
And I will faithfully carry out and implement.
The policies enunciated and the instructions given to me.
The policies enunciated and the instructions given to me.
By the Board of Park Commissioners.
By the Board of Park Commissioners.
Of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
Of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District.
And this I promise to do as I shall answer unto God.
This I promise to do as I shall answer unto God.
Excellent. Thank you.
Congratulations, Ron, and welcome. The recommended action falls in the top portion of page 11, appointing Ron Milligan as a full-time police officer for the Cleveland Metro Parks, authorized by 1545.13.
Move the motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Would you like to introduce who you brought today?
Your lovely one. Oh, yes.
You don't get off that easy.
Didn't mean to throw, I threw you a softball.
Yes. This is my lovely wife, Mary Rose, and we've been married for 24 years now. So.
Excellent.
Welcome. The next action item is the last 2025 budget adjustment, number 12, just truing up the end of the year. The recommended action to increase the budget for $330,300 falls on the top portion of page 12. Anything you would like to add, Wade?
The only, Brian, that this is already funding we received from the sewer district. We just have to put it back and put in the budget for 2025.
Move the motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Dan Moore.
Yes.
The next action item is 2026 legislative consultant. We have worked with Capital Consulting since 2009. They interviewed in 2009, hired in February of 2010, right as I was coming on board. We have done many projects together. This year will shape up as well as a very challenging and unique year with property tax movements potentially, as well as it's a capital budget year. So we feel very comfortable being able to bring on for this year as one of our legislative consultants. Recommended action falls in the top mid portion of page 12, appointing Capital Consulting.
Move the motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
The next action item is Lakefront Reservation. This is the amendment to Wonderlust, doing business as Dakwa Marina Management Services, increase in fees. This is because of the addition of North Coast Harbor, just additional consumption as we added a location. The revised total amount is in the amount of $90,000, falls in the bottom portion of page 13.
Move approval of the motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
The next is contract amendment number one, guaranteed maximum price number one, RFP construction manager at risk, Irish Town Bend Park Components. This is a long time coming to see that this dates back to 2018 and even honestly before that with the work that Land Studio and a host of other wonderful agencies, including NOAACA, putting together the TLCI study, really looking at what this 25-acre park could be. The teams have been working in concert with the Port Authority of Cleveland, and their work is coming to an end here in the next few months, provided that they can get through these weather conditions. The Cleveland Metro Parks is and will be taking on the building of the park components, and this is GMP1 with Great Lakes Construction in the amount of $638,716. There will be others that will be coming, and most of this funding is coming from the outside. Land Studio is raising the funds, so this is something that we look at for, again, a revised value of $777,716. Recommended action falls in the middle portion of page 16.
Move the motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Bruce Rinker.
Yes.
Yvette Itu.
Yes.
Dan Moore.
Yes.
The next is a professional services agreement, RFQ 6975. Cuyahoga, this is part of the Lake Link Trail Franklin enhancements. This is for the actual construction inspection services, which we have to do per the federal regulations along the way. Three firms were interviewed, shortlisted, and the recommended firm this time is Greenman and Peterson in the amount $591,909. Again, this is for professional services relative to the road and the use of federal funds.
Move approval.
Second.
Bruce Rinker.
Yes.
Yvette Itu.
Yes.
Dan Moore.
Yes.
The next is contract amendment number four, GMP4, contract 1670, construction manager at risk. This is for the Patrick S. Parker Sailing Center. This is a continuation with our work of Whiting Turner. We are very thankful that the east building is winter tight, and they continue to make very good progress on all of the internal components. This is the fourth GMP in the amount of $1,218,230. We are still on track for a Memorial Day opening. Recommended action falls in the top portion of page 21.
Move approval.
Second.
Bruce Rinker.
Yes.
Yvette Itu.
Yes.
Dan Moore.
Yes.
As we have done for many years, this is amendment number one, contract 1781, Cleveland Metro Parks Bridge Inspection and Engineering Support. This is for a five-year period, 25 through 30 bridge inspections number. This is for 2026. There were a number of opportunities to, again, work with our five-year kind of rotation. Arcadis has been chosen, and this is the amendment. This is in a total contract not to exceed $436,200. This recommended action falls in the mid-portion of page 22.
Move approval of the motion.
Second.
Bruce Rinker.
Yes.
Yvette Itu.
Yes.
Dan Moore.
Yes.
The next is project development agreement number one. This is for site preparation and demolition of the former Euclid Beach Mobile Home Park in Euclid Creek Reservation. Western Reserve Land Conservancy worked to preserve this almost 30-acre parcel of land on Lakeshore Boulevard. Cleveland Metro Parks agreed through the Clean Ohio program to purchase through the funds. And now we have partnered very well with the Cuyahoga County Land Use Land Reutilization Corporation to help do and manage removal of the fence, grading, and overall kind of matching of the different parts to the current part of the reservation. This recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 23 for amendment number one with the Cuyahoga County Land Bank.
Move approval of the motion.
I am going to abstain on this one.
I'll second.
Bruce Rinker.
Yes.
Dan Moore.
Yes.
Motion passes. We will move into the tabulation of award and bids. We have a number of them, A through F, single source for mobile app enhancements, sailing center boater Wi-Fi as part of the improvements to the overall lakefront reservation. We are picking up seven little Maverick trucks, small little trucks, marine fuel for the 26th season, a few tractors, and some mobile kitchen components. And those are the recommended actions that fall on the top portion of page 24.
One question on that, the Wi-Fi, What area will that cover then?
Basically, the marina itself. We're bringing in, and Anthony can confirm it's fiber optic, correct?
Yes.
It's fiber optic. So for the first, we've had very spotty coverage there because of its, I would say, unique location. And so we've been able to pull in new utilities from the Shoreway area, Shoreway Lofts area, all the way in. So we'll have improved capacity, which we had not had before.
That was okay. Part of the Mandel.
It would, no, it was actually part of our overall improvements.
Now, do we have Wi-Fi for the other two marinas? The one, okay. It's spotty at Wendy Park, I believe, isn't it?
Each lakefront area has its very own kind of unique ecosystem. Anthony and the team, ATA, we constantly try to look at how we can enhance those along the way by pulling actual fiber in. This just happened to be the great opportunity to do it.
Right, gotcha. Okay, thanks.
Recommended action is on top page of 24.
Move approval.
Second.
Bruce Rinker?
Oh. Yes. Do we have a second?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, Sorry.
Yes.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Vouchers and payroll?
Wade?
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, President. On page 35, commissioners, you'll see resolution 26-01-001 in the amount of $16,138,783.78 for various vouchers, EFTs, and ACHs. They've been reviewed as to their legality. They all comply with the Ohio Revised Code, and I would ask your approval of those vouchers.
Move approval.
Second.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Now we turn to public comments. I know we have a big line of people, but Mari, you can go first if you wish.
Good morning. Revenue numbers for 25 bear out my concerns about finance. Contrary to claims, enterprise mostly costing, not paying, drawing from rather than sparing tax dollars. Citizens asked to shell out as they tighten their own belts. Property tax changes will help residents, but will come down hard on metro parks and other levy recipients. Notable here today is how many major projects are approved going forward. Income from last year does not justify optimism. Tax revenues, which had already dropped versus 24, may be stable at best. Salaries and op expenses are unlikely to fall. Grants, which generated the only increased revenue versus 24, pay for initial outlays. They won't cover operating and maintenance costs. How much have you put aside for marinas upkeep and repair? Increasingly severe storms will hit the lakefront even more than inland. Show us how you're preparing. If enterprise is losing money under present conditions, how will that change for the better? You don't address this. Media, which relies on park advertising, shows video you provide as they're attractive and easy to use. This can't be counted on forever. Frame the park as a unique place where visitors aren't bombarded with marketing and pushed to consume. They wanted trail and map apps, but you added in events and registrations. In the last 3 years, golf has lost $2 million, $1.2 million, and now nearly $4 million. Hardly a great success, and it may even have peaked. Also subject to the weather, which has been the fallback excuse for decades. Golf salaries suck up all the greens fees, which leaves selling stuff, not experiences. A division which loses $4 million is not something to brag about. Driving ranges barely involve the outdoors, offer minimal exercise, and must compete with Topgolf. Healthy planet, healthy people does not apply. Other investments which have not panned out include that custom-built boat lift for Emerald Necklace Marina. Revenues there up a bit, but won't cover it. The boat and kayak launch safety issue is finally being addressed after long delays. in spite of it requiring a mere fraction of that machine cost. Emerald Necklace Restaurant has lost money the last 3 years and will never pay for the big remodel. $80,000, the profit for all of Enterprise. Pay attention. If we have to watch our pennies, then you need to watch the dollars we give you. Trust us on this. Won't suffice as previous financial promises have fallen short. The next levy may raise some tough questions. Less Disney, more Stinchcomb would result in better parks and a better bottom line. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right, we'll move to our information and briefing.
We'll move into the very first one, a Rocky River Nature Center erosion protection. This is by way of example, a information item of taking care of infrastructure. Sean?
Okay, thank you, Brian. Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
We'll walk you through a project that we've been working on for some time, and that is the protection of the Rocky River Nature Center. So benchmark location, we are in Rocky River Reservation, in the central portion of the reservation, where the star is located on the map here. And what's interesting about the location relative to the Rocky River Nature Center, we are just north of the confluence of the west branch of the Rocky River and the east branch of the Rocky River. We have been doing notable infrastructure maintenance in the areas. The county did replacement of a bridge. We did replacement of our Valley Parkway Bridge. And with Fort Hill Steps and improvements to the trail network and the Nature Center, there's been a great emphasis on maintaining the infrastructure we have. In 1971, the Nature Center was originally constructed. A local architect, George Schoenbrunn, actually did the design. A lot of effort went in to nestle the Nature Center as close to the river as possible. But in doing that, the siting of the Nature Center was on the outside bend of a river. And as we all know, rivers move. The Nature Center itself had a very, very unique design, one that we work with every day in terms of maintaining the building. One of the most unique aspects of it was this cantilevered deck, is this cantilevered deck that hangs out from the shale cliff over the river. And as you can see in the caption here in the lower right hand, one of the reasons to have the shale cliff was to give views upriver to the Devonian shale cliff. And that cliff is something that we've actually monitored for over the past decade because of movements in the shale and erosion. Here's a shot just after construction of the deck. Here is a picture of the deck. This was in the early 80s. And now, I'm sorry, in the early 70s, 1971, and now we can compare that to 2025, where we can see, being on the outside bend of the river, we've seen some erosion of the shale, so it is now time to address that as we're getting a little close to the foundation of the building itself. Here's an overhead shot. From some of the analysis that we've been able to do, we have found that about 4 feet of shale has eroded since 1969. So we've done that with some aerial imagery, and our engineer, KS Associates, has helped us determine that. So here's some additional depictions of current conditions. You can see that we've modified the deck to open up the railing system since 1971, but really we have not made any major changes other than that. Here's a shot of the shale wall and how close we are getting to the foundation. So we've been putting together some effort to determine how to best protect the Nature Center. In doing that, we've worked with Ohio EPA. We've worked through our SMRF program that's with the sewer district to help fund this project. And the design includes several weirs. And in those weirs, we will actually collect material that migrates downstream and also place dredge material from the channel that we will be deepening just to the south of it into those pockets and then vegetating those pockets. So it's a balance of civil engineering and then nature-based engineering to combine for the protection that we're proposing.
So the channel you're creating is really a diversion.
The channel
that to reduce anyway the stress on the bank.
Exactly.
How often does it have to be dredged?
It should actually self-cleanse.
So, okay.
We'll walk you through some of this.
Sorry.
Here's, oh, absolutely. Here's a profile of the building showing the cantilever deck. So what we're proposing to come in and do is build those weirs and then in those J-hooks, fill that area with riverbed material, top it, and then see that it is vegetated. So 99 days out of 100, you'll see that vegetation. We'll then do that very, very slight dredging to deepen this portion of the channel, bring this material over in to fill those J-hooks. And this is a design that is highly supported by Ohio EPA, and we were already permitted for the project. So we did some flow analysis. So what's happening today is we've got flow coming down the river, splitting at the island, and actually literally being directed straight into that wall. So what we can do now by dredging that channel, self-cleanse over time, we can redirect the flow away from the shale cliff itself. What we're showing here is this is our daily flow. Then when we get a flood, we also will see that the improvements will help keep floodwaters, and this is a two-year storm, off of the actual cliff itself. Wow. We did not design this for a 100-year storm. We're still going to see some inundation in a 100-year storm. So we are currently out to bid. We hope and expect to bring back to you a recommendation for a contractor at our next board meeting. We would start construction in 26, use the dry season through the summer to do the work, and then plantings in the fall and be complete by next December. And again, project funds are with our partnership from the sewer district.
Sean, what picture is this?
Expecting what it'll look like?
Yeah, this is a very basic rendering of once we install the J-hooks and weirs and can vegetate what that can look like. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
So it won't be as dramatic, but it'll be safer.
Very much safer. Yes.
Science and math coming together. If there are no questions, we'll go into the project update. Emerald Necklace Marina Kayak Drop-Off Launch Area. It's the Sean Show starting off the new year.
Okay. Happy New Year. We have been working for some time at Emerald Necklace Marina. So here we are at the top of Rocky River Reservation. Our existing conditions here go back many years. We have our boat parking. We have our launch and recovery approach lanes. We know that we've gotten some good public comment about operations at the marina and some potential areas for improvement, mostly related to the public use and public kayak launch. So although we do have the ability to launch kayaks right now downstream of the boat ramps, we do see a lot of people either using the boat ramps or working at the 41 North kayak livery. So what we're looking to do here, so here's some more existing conditions, is really improve this entire sequence of public drop-off. So if we're looking southwest in this picture, what we're looking to do is convert the outermost lane to a public kayak drop-off, convert the center lane to the launch lane, and then build a new lane on the interior of the curve, and that would be a boat recovery lane. So then that helps then segregate the kayak drop-off to a specific lane. We'll switch directions, we'll move it up to the image on the right. And here you can see where we have a new seasonal kayak launch. We're designing this so that it can be taken out of the water because of all the ice flows and ice damming that we have in the river seasonally. Looking at a site plan, you can see where we've now done a lane shift. So we've got the recovery lane on the innermost of the curve, the boat launch, the launching lane in the middle, and then the kayak lane on the right. So then if you're a member of the public and you have a kayak on your roof rack, you can come here, take off the roof rack, and then a easy decline to the launch. That way you're never crossing the boat pickup and recovery and launch operations. Connor has done a tremendous, this is Connor Curicle, our landscape architect. He's done a tremendous amount of work on this project, primarily grant funded. About $250,000 has been dedicated, and we look to go to bid on this and do the work this summer. So quick update there.
All right, thank you.
There are no other information briefing or policy items. There is no old business. The next regularly scheduled meeting is February 19th at 8 a.m. in the Rozepka boardroom.
So I guess we need a motion to adjourn. I'll make the motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Bruce Rinker.
Yes.
Yvette Etu.
Yes.
Yes.
When Dan gets back, he'll be taken care of.
Thank you, everyone. Be safe.
Farewell.